from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Machine Head, the Goat Head, the Black and Red. Bush and the Buffalo Sabres have been intertwined now for nearly three decades. A connection revisited during Art Park's 50th season.
It was 1996, and they had the whole thing at the Odd where they rolled out the logo, and then it comes out on the ice and they play Machine Head, and it's one of the coolest things.
With Machine Head specifically, people think of the unveiling of the jersey. It's been re-released. What is it like when that's an kind of unintended, how that connects with people?
It's always good to look smart, even if you've had not much to do with it. You know, it's great. It's pretty fun. And I think black and red go together really well.
Let's go Buffalo.
Let's go Buffalo!
Black and red schedule is out for this upcoming season. A lot of Friday nights in the Goat Head, and great to have you with us here on Sabres Live. Noon snuck up on me, I'm not going to lie, but we are ready to roll here. And for good reason, because Marty, I think not only with the unveiling of the black and red schedule, like today's a good day for reminders, because we've come through the long weekend. Some people have their kids back in a routine. Others don't get started until tomorrow. So we're all trying
very
to find-
much waiting until tomorrow. They're like anticipating tomorrow. Yes.
So we are in an anticipatory mode, right? Yes. For kids scheduling, whatever is football season, boom, this weekend, right? And we are 9 days from the Prospects Challenge. We are 10 days from FanFest. We're 17 days from the preseason opener. We are 1 month out from the regular season opener in Prague. And now we've got black and red schedule to chew on as well, which is going to culminate with Fan Appreciation Night in April. So I love being able to kind of build stuff out in this realm and start attaching yourself to fun and important dates moving forward.
So, you know, I do like, paper calendar. Yes. That's how I do it. And I've got colors and different highlighters. So blue is my color for Sabres game, but I did use my red pen and put a little red line above the games that are going to be in the black and red so that I know, because again, you're always prepared. You have your red sweatshirt on, your hoodie, your red hat, black and red, goat head and everything. I'm wearing blue. Like, I was not prepared for...
Nice tone of navy you're sporting today.
I know, navy and whatever. I just was like, okay, what do I have Sabres in my closet? Oh, I'll put this one on. It's part of the rotation. But I want to be prepared this year. I want to know. Like, so often I show up to the game, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. We're wearing black and red today. Like, I completely forgot. So I did underline every single one of them. Now, an easy way to do it is the Sabres have 5 Friday night home games this year. There's only 5 Friday night home games in the whole schedule. Those are all going to be black and red.
Seriously?
So seriously, when the Sabres play at home on Friday,
you're not even lying to me.
I'm not lying to you. It actually doesn't start until November 1st. And then there's one game in Anaheim, November 22nd, but the 29th is at home. Every Friday home game is a black and red game.
So did you say we have a road game in them?
No, we don't have a road game.
Oh, I thought you said in Anaheim. Sorry.
We play a road game on Friday night, but it's not going to be a black and red game. Oh, okay. Like, it's just for the home. But there's only five home Friday night games, and those are going to be black and red. And I think Friday nights are unique to Buffalo because when I played, we played a ton of Friday night games. It was a stapled Friday, 8 p.m., and we'd go on the road and play Saturday on the road.
Yeah, the 8 sucked. I think I can say that with full authority.
It was only great for one thing. It was great for the afternoon nap. You didn't have to rush home and go to bed. You could have a 2-2.5 hour nap, relax. Kids would come home. For those that had kids in school would come home. You can hang out with them, and then you'd leave. But when you got to the road team or the road location at 2:30 in the morning and you got the hotel at 2:45, 3 o'clock, that sucked big time.
Especially with so many of those trips being into Canada for division rivals. So the later start plus the customs added up to not having the easiest path. It's not an excuse. It's just, it didn't make a lot of sense after
that hour
time.
Made a big difference. It made a big difference because the next day your practice is not at 12:30. It's at 11:15, whatever, your morning skate. And we used to do a ton of, we didn't have as many days off back then. And also we would play 20, 21 sets of back-to-back in the season. Now it's down to about a dozen, maybe 10 of them, you know, 10, 12, 14. If you're on the East Coast, the West Coast teams don't play as many. So Friday nights are something I felt like were special to Buffalo, and there's five this year, and it's going to be black and red. And then there's another 10 games throughout the season, a few Saturday nights, where they're going to wear the black and red at home, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And for me, it was always Friday and Sunday home games. As a kid, never really able until my later teenage years, able to get down to the Odd, but always listening on Friday and Sundays. And that was, you know, oh my gosh, so many crazy screaming RJ nights, you know, like the Friday night 14-4 over Toronto, and just, you know, so it was Friday and Sundays, right? So I'm with you. Like, I love the Friday night games. It's always felt like that's what it's supposed to be. I could use more Sunday games. I get it. You know, definitely don't want to kind of always be running in conjunction with football as you go through into February, but I could definitely use a few more Sundays later in the year. So looking forward to that. Again, if you missed any of the dates.
You want to know, you mentioned, like, sorry, Duffer, you mentioned Friday, Sunday. I don't know how many Saturday nights the Sabres don't play this year throughout the season.
Saturdays in general, home and away, don't
home
play?
Home and away. Like generally, there's,
what is it?
I believe, a quick look, four Saturday nights where the Sabres don't have a game.
Is that including the Four Nations break?
That's including the 1 week for the Four Nation break, which is...
It's actually two. And don't even argue with me because I'm going to be gone for most of it.
That is in February. No, because
location
we played the 8th.
To be determined.
No, you know what? Air. The Sabres played a Saturday the 8th, and they play again on the Saturday the 22nd of February. So only the 15th is a night where they don't have a game on Saturday. That
right, but they go from the 8th into that wicked break, and it's almost two full.
But there's
weeks.
Only four Saturday nights that they don't play a game. Mm-hmm. So Saturday, you want to be a Saturday night Sabres game, Sunday Bills type of situation. You got that at home. That's great.
Well, now that you're digging in, how many conflicts with the Bills?
There's only the two, I believe, right, that I sent earlier.
Yeah. And have you lobbied our travel coordinator to get us on the road for those?
I did lobby at St. Louis on the 29th of December, I believe, is one of them.
You know, we get...
The Bills play the Jets that day.
We got pooched out of St. Louis again in Buffalo this year. It's back-to-back years of not being able to have an MSG telecast where we could celebrate Mike Weber behind the bench. Like, yeah, I am not, right. I am beyond disappointed in that. And remember the other nugget that I unearthed?
No, what was
a while
it?
Back when the schedule came out? We don't have a home telecast for almost 5 weeks from like December 9th to January something, we do not have a home broadcast on MSG at KeyBank. It's wild.
Yeah, because the 11th is the Rangers at home, and that's the national game. The 20th is Toronto at home, national game, black and red. The 27th, Chicago at home, black and red, national game. So we go into... it goes all the way until the 11th of January, because then Washington at home on the 6th is a black and red game. But no, we have two conflicts this year with the Bills. December 15th, the Bills are at Detroit playing the Lions. The Sabres are in Toronto. So you and I are probably going to go to Toronto for that one, because there'll be conflict with the studio, and the December 29th at St. Louis.
I don't know if I'm going to go to Toronto. I might skip that one.
Oh, that's okay. It's okay. We'll bring we'll bring a cutout of you. They probably have a cutout and something.
Oh, well, we have a nice one from last year, remember?
Oh yeah, that's right.
The Saberhead Day.
Yeah. So we can bring a cutout. We'll put two cutouts and we'll
like it
from the stands. But anyway, Black and Red is on fire. Fans are really excited about it. Look, 15 of the 40 home games, because one is in Czechia. So 15 of the 40 home games are going to be in black and red. For those that have that attachment, emotional attachment to that era of the late 90s, early 2000, the Dominic Kashuk, Michael Pekka, right? Those, even the Drury Briere of, 05, 06, you're going to get your fill from it. I am a traditionalist. I love the royal and gold. I love the Gilbert Perreault, Danny Gare kind of look to it. So 25 home games in that blue and gold as well.
Yes, and I appreciate Steven's sentiments that when the playoffs roll around, let's have Bush at Party in the Plaza. And I want to thank Gavin Rossdale and his teammates, Chris and Corey and Nick, for a fun little catch-up amidst a lot of black and red Goathead fans who were at the Bush concert at Art Park just a few weeks ago. It was a Scott Balzer idea, tremendous videographer, photographer, editor for us, and we knew what we would see in the crowd that day, and it came to pass, and it was great, and it was super fun to just kind of reminisce with people that share that passion of remembering when the black and red and the Goathead were unveiled. So it was super fun.
It's going to be interesting for that band to show up in Buffalo and see all the black and red Sabres, apparels that are in the crowd, because, Bush was big. Bush in the mid 90s, late 90s, they were huge. They were everywhere. They were at Woodstock 99. They were everywhere, but only in Buffalo would they come in and people would have a uniform in front of them, right? Because that's who people of Buffalo associated the song Bush to the Sabres and to the black and red and the Goathead.
It's not everyone, obviously, but that's the microcosm of life, right? Like, we can be like, not everybody in the arena on any given night, 20,000 people, like, they're not all hardcore music fans of any genre, right?
Yeah.
Like, some people, it's just not a thing. But for people that are, it can be super fun.
But if they show up to Cleveland, or if they show up to Pittsburgh, or if they show up to L.A., like, people are not showing up in sports jerseys and hats, because it's not like Buffalo. That reveal in 96 at the Odd with the banner and the logos and everything really started that love affair.
Yeah, and obviously, we look at this, where the Sabres are at here. Like I said, we're 9 days from the start of the Prospects Challenge. So, and by the way, we're only, what day are we? Is today Wednesday?
Today is Wednesday.
And then we have, Sabres at the ballpark this Saturday, right, at 1 p.m. Alex Tuch's going to fire the opening pitch. We've got a trio of really great young prospects that are going to be there signing autographs as well. By the way, massive fireworks show from the Bisons last night. Kind of caught me off guard on a Tuesday. I don't live too far away. And I felt like I was at a rock concert. There was quite a haze over the city after that post Labor Day blast. But check out the Sabres in attendance there at Salem Field This Saturday, Roseanne, Kulik, and Oslin are going to be there. And
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And then the gates open at 11:30, but we're still waiting on a contract for Krebs.
Yes.
And what else are we waiting on, in your opinion?
Oh, well, I mean, the Krebs contract is interesting to me because now we're in September and you never want to be the guy in September, especially in Krebs' position. Mm-hmm. Now, we've seen players like Willie Nylander and Marner and others, like high-end players, saying, I'm going to hold out. I'm going to wait until I've got my money, until I got my contract. Peyton Krebs is not that player. He's not that level of player. And I'd have to think that the differences between what the player wants and what the team is willing to give does not make it where Peyton Krebs is going to say, I'm going to miss the start of the season for that. Like, it cannot be that much of a difference to say, I'm going to miss, especially if you're Peyton Krebs and he's been in Buffalo and he's been skating and he's been, you know, getting himself ready. So I would assume and anticipate that it's going to get figured out. But if you're Peyton Krebs and you say, okay, McLeod, Zucker, Obi-Kubel, Malenstein, Lafferty, you're like, I better be there at the start of training camp. If I'm not there at the start of training camp, and then somebody else is taking my spot and I'm playing catch up and I don't want to do that. So that to me is, I would almost feel like, okay, the next 10 days, that should get settled. It should get figured out. If it doesn't, that means that there's bigger differences than what should just be on the surface right now. There's got to be something a little deeper than that.
And then there's reality. So you may have sensed almost hesitation in the transition back to, you know, reality, which is hockey starting. And yes, we'll be talking about Fan Fest and Hockey Fest later in the show with Ed Grudzinski. And we'll be talking about Pittsburgh as our team of the day. But it is hard in reality to transition to the games and to the roster decisions because of the tragedy that unfolded last week. I don't know how the Blue Jackets are doing it today. You know, with, and I get it, like this is an inevitability that after a tragedy, somebody will speak on behalf of an organization. But losing the Gaudreau brothers in the circumstances in which they lost their lives last week, and you know, because you've been seeing it everywhere, as you should, on social media and mainstream media, but Don Waddell, the GM of the Jackets, and select players are going to speak this afternoon. There'll be a candlelight vigil at 7:30. Cole Caulfield touched the hockey world last night in a way that that I would say I would almost expect. And I think
it's a hard thing to do for Cole Caulfield, though, Duffer, because
but it's not only, and I just want to say this because and I get it, you can never base life assessments of people in really, really, really limited moments. You can be impressed, mm-hmm. you know, in a first-time interaction. But I would say this, over the course of the time, especially here since the Combine has been here in Buffalo, and the years in which, you know, we have sat down with a number of draft-eligible players, there are very few that showed at his age the confidence and character traits that Cole Caulfield possessed when we sat down to talk to him then. And so, therefore, it doesn't surprise me, especially upon his most recent opportunity, which was to play with his hero at the World Championships in Johnny Gaudreau, that Caulfield would make a move like this with a franchise as storied as the Canadiens to switch his number to number 13 moving forward to honor Johnny Gaudreau. It's perfect, and I think it very much is a reflection of Caulfield and his family for the way Cole has carried himself to this point in his life and career.
Yeah, and you know, like when I saw Cole Caulfield getting the, you know, changing his jersey number from 22 to 13 and doing it because of Johnny Gaudreau, you have to go back and knowing that, you know, certain players are role models for and representation for a group of unique players or unique individuals in the world. But now we're talking about sports. We're talking about hockey. And just like a Mike Camilleri was for others, right? And he also wore the same 13 numbers.
Yeah.
But Johnny Gaudreau wore 13, smaller stature players, skilled players. Cole Caulfield always looked up to Johnny Gaudreau, said he paved the way for smaller players to do it. Alex DeBrincat is the same type of player. And when Caulfield came in the league, everybody said, well, Caulfield is like Alex DeBrincat, and Alex DeBrincat is like this guy. And there's always a trickle-down effect. So Cole Caulfield says, you know what, I'm going to wear number 13. And his post on Instagram was basically saying, I was so lucky to have gotten a chance to play with my hero at the World Championship this year, and I want to honor him by wearing that number, that jersey number, which is, to me, very fitting. Now, the first thing I thought about when, you know, sometimes it's in sadness that things like that come through, like Cole Caulfield changing his jersey number to 13. But another very, very, and I'm not comparing Cole Caulfield to this player, but another very, very, very famous Montreal Canadiens was Maurice Richard. Maurice Richard wore number 15 when he first came to Montreal. And then his daughter was born, and she weighed 9 pounds. And that night, he showed up to the rink, and the jerseys are all in the middle of the room. And he grabbed a jersey number 9. Nobody had the jersey number 9. And he looked over to the coach. He says, can I wear 9? And he said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And he wore number 9 because his daughter was born, and she weighed 9 pounds. And it turned out to be like this legend of Maurice Richard, number 9, right, and everything. Jerseys numbers have an identification of a person, but not for everybody. But for a lot of them, it's something you grew up with, something that represents a family numbers or whatnot. So for Cole Caulfield, 22 was really good to him. 22 was his number. But to make that change and go to 13, that's significant because it's even more important for him to go to 13, which is what he will be doing. But you mentioned Columbus having a candlelight vigil tonight. Calgary is also doing the same at the Saddle Dome in Calgary. There's still a lot of... emotional moments that are gonna happen in the National Hockey League, especially in Columbus and Calgary.
How have you been navigating this? Because I feel like it's been really, I don't want to say intentional, but I've almost tried not to read too much or view too much. I mean, we used the word repeatedly on Friday, unimaginable, and I'm still kind of stuck there. It's you know, it's I'll tell you what I did read was a little excerpt from some of the tributes. We just showed footage of you know, the growing vigil and memorial in Calgary. And somebody had left a tyke-sized pair of hockey gloves that said number 13, my hero, on them. And
yeah, that overhead picture that was, is amazing because they went and they used the front steps to lay items down and then that courtyard there to basically draw messages, right? And the number 13 is everywhere. And Michael Farber had a great expose on TSN about Johnny Hockey. And, you know, Michael Farber, like I do, he's so well-spoken and well-written and has a big heart. So when he put that together with the guys at TSN, it just was very impactful. So, yeah, I mean, even my, you know, I talk to my parents, you know, every once in a while about different things. How's dad's golf going? When are you guys going to Florida? Things like that. And that very next day, my mom called and was like, I just can't imagine because, you know, that was without the daughters that they had, that was our family. My brother and I both played hockey. It was our family, like hockey tournaments, baseball tournaments, hockey tournament. That was our identity. And, you know, so for my mom, who's in her 70s, she's like, I can't even imagine that family having going through this right now. I get it. They still have, you know, two daughters that they have to support and they have to get support around. But, you know, she was almost taken to that time when my brother and I were 3 years apart. So 31 mm-hmm. and 28, kind of like Johnny 31, Matthew 29. Like they, it's very much, it hit home for my parents, especially my mom's, that we were talking about it. And I could sense all of that kind of grief for their mother that she was living through reading all about it.
And what incredible strength from the Gaudreau daughters, the Gaudreau sisters, when looking at it from the Johnny and Matthew standpoint. I mean, my goodness, their words. Brave, courageous, proud. Don't even begin to scratch the surface of what those two young men meant to that family.
And to the Johnny and Matthew's wives, who both shared messages on Instagram. But
yeah, that's
It was very, very much about the persons that they were, the people that they were. It's look, we know them as hockey player, and I never got a chance to sit down and talk to Johnny about anything. Like it just, I watched him play. I criticized him. I you know, put out his good parts. I, you know, you look at the hockey player, but you know, then this is who we know. Just like we watch football, we watch other athletes and we know them as the athletes. But to read Meredith's, you know, long paragraph about Johnny and obviously the one about Matthew as well is just knowing even more about the human being that they were. And that's why it's so upsetting and sad now, because the human being and the great people that they were has gone way too soon.
Mm-hmm. We started the show today talking about schedules as it pertained to the Sabres, especially black and red. And obviously, we mentioned what is fast approaching, Prospects Challenge, preseason yes. opener, regular season opener. And of course, amidst FanFest will be Hockey Fest. We'll dive in deeper on that. After this, Ed Grudzinski from the Sabres youth hockey side is going to be joining us to let you know how you can still get involved in Hockey Fest on September the 14th. That's all straight ahead here on Sabres Live.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.